Hey, Mighty Warrior, Dr. Joe here. Before we get started today, I want to ask you to do me a quick favor. Hit that subscribe button and give this podcast a share on social media so we can help even more men win at what matters and even frustrates them the most about being godly husbands, fathers, and spiritual leaders in their home. We appreciate it so much. Thank you for listening today. And now onto the podcast. Hello, Mighty Men of God. Joe Martin here, man builder, award-winning speaker, author, and Tanya's husband and Kindle and Faith's dad. Welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. Every Wednesday, we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Today is the Real Men Check-In. The Real Men Check-In is just a quick way to help you start your week on the right foot in the right way. Every Monday, I share personal insights, encouragement, and support that will move you beyond church to real change. I keep it short, I make it fun, and then I'm done. So let's get started. Real men choose to divorce consequences, not their wives. I think I need to say that one again. Real men choose to divorce consequences, not their wives. Welcome to the Real Men Connect check-in this week. This week, I want to make a confession about one of the toughest parts of my job that I absolutely hate. In fact, in full disclosure, I hate it so much that I cry every time I have to go through it. I mean, literally. And it makes me want to actually quit ministry every single time it happens. No, it's not the death of a child, a spouse, or even a parent, but rather the death of a man's marriage. Now, I know that may sound kind of ridiculous, but it wasn't even the death of my own child or my grandfather, my mom, or even my mentor that motivated me to get into ministry. But rather, it was the destruction of my marriage and the devastation that it had on my life that motivated me to accept the call to ministry, particularly a ministry for men. After ruining a 16-year marriage due to my porn and sex addiction and losing half my wealth, risking my health, and losing my integrity and the respect of my 9-year-old son, my siblings, and even my nephew and my niece, I don't think I've ever experienced something so humiliating and painful all at the same time than when I went through a divorce. All I knew is that I didn't want any man or wife and children to have to go through what I experienced and felt. Looking into my 9-year-old son's tear-drenched eyes as he asked me after we told him the news, he asked, "Can't God fix this?" And what that did to his faith, my family, my Superman status in his eyes, I'll never forget it. Now, it's been 15 years and I still get teary-eyed even when I talk about it even today. Now, having mentored, coached, and counseled hundreds of men, I still dread hearing a man tell me, "Dr. Joe, I can't take this anymore. Man, I'm done with this marriage. Man, there's no hope for us." In other words, he's ready to throw in the towel. And I've seen it happen to men who've been married for 1 year, sometimes even less, and as long as 26 years, and it never gets easy hearing it. One of the reasons it makes me want to quit ministry is because even when a man reaches out to help me for his marriage, I know deep down inside most men have already made up their minds about what they're going to do. And out of respect for me, they've agreed to talk to me before they do it. Now, I know it doesn't matter what I tell them, show them, or even try to help them with. They've already chosen to quit. And they're just looking for someone to help them kind of ease the guilt and the sting of their decision. Now, the problem is, I'm never that guy for them. And I've even lost friendships over it because I'm just the opposite. Basically, I can be somewhat of a butthole, excuse my language, when it comes to men and their marriage. Because instead of offering men sympathy and understanding for their choice to end their marriage, I do just the opposite. I fight for their marriage as if it was my own marriage and their children were my own children. Now, you can call it PTSD from my old failed marriage, but I like to call it my obligation and repayment of a debt I owe my son and my ex-wife for what I did to their lives. They didn't deserve it, and I didn't think about the real consequences of my actions, not only from ruining my marriage, but the ripple effects of the divorce itself. I didn't really see how naive I was about the real impact of divorce and why God hates it so much. I realize now that God has called me to try to give sight to the blind so they can see what I can only learn by looking backwards. Whenever a tired, frustrating, hurting husband comes to me, ready to throw in a towel concerning his marriage, I try to do my best to get him to reconsider. And that's when most of them hit me with what I call the loser limp or Christian cliches. You know what I'm talking about. "Dr. Joe, man, I prayed about this, man." And the translation really is, "No, Dr. Joe, I've whined about it and I've prayed that God would take this pain and shame away from me." They say things like, "Dr. Joe, God has given me peace about this decision." When the truth is, God is allowing you to harden your heart towards him about that decision. They say, Dr. Joe, I've done all that I can. Translation, yes, I've done all that I can do in my own strength, but I haven't relied on God's supernatural strength to do what he asked me to do. They say things like, Dr. Joe, God knows my heart. And yes, he knows you're not willing to trust him with your heart or your marriage. They tell me, Dr. Joe, we just won't ever get past this. When the truth is, yes, you will. You're just not willing to endure the process of getting past it. They say, Dr. Joe, I've stepped out of God's will when I married her in the first place. I never should have married her. I need to make things right by getting out of this marriage. But what they're really saying is I'm willing to dig an even deeper hole, even if it makes God mad. And I probably get hit with this one the most. Dr. Joe, this isn't healthy for our kids. But the truth is, no, what you mean is it's too painful for you to humble yourself, to trust God, to be patient and obedient to the process. See, when my son asked me, Daddy, can't God fix this? I didn't give him a loser's limp Christian cliche. I told my son the truth. I said, yes, God can fix this, son, but we're too selfish to let him. Yes, I knew I threw myself under the bus by ruining my reputation with him, but I protected God's reputation. He's a good God, a good father, even when his dad isn't being one. See, the truth is, neither I nor anyone else can make you do anything when it comes to your marriage, including your wife. As much as I care about men and want to help save their marriage, I am powerless. I'm responsible to you and accountable to God to speak and share his truth with you. But you're responsible and you will be held accountable to God for your choices. First of all, let's tell the truth and shame the devil. Usually 9 times out of 10, our choice to end our marriage isn't because of holy conviction from God. We know that God hates divorce because the entire Bible is about him restoring his relationship, or should I say marriage, with us. The institution of marriage represents our covenant with God. The truth is, we usually choose divorce as the way out, either out of convenience, because it represents the least painful path to our comfort, because the path to restoration will require commitment, suffering, time, healing, sacrifice, humility, and emotional pain. These were the same things that Jesus endured that we're trying to avoid right now. And we think it will be easier just to start all over again. We usually choose divorce out of shame, or should I say trying to avoid shame, because if we're the guilty party, we don't want to have to face our victim, because they're a constant reminder of our sins. And not only will we not be able to forget every time we see them, we're afraid they won't ever let us forget what we did. We're afraid that they will use it as a weapon against us in the future. Think about it. Even if you're the victim in the relationship, you'd rather not wear the shame of feeling and looking stupid or naive for marrying someone who treated you like that. We usually choose divorce out of selfishness, like I told my son, because we're afraid of being unhappy in the future. And life's too short to be unhappy, right? And we're afraid that maybe the marriage was a mistake in the first place and God didn't approve it. So maybe we can fix things by getting out of it. And we usually choose divorce out of our lack of love and trust for God. In other words, out of our own hypocrisy. Because if we really loved and trusted God, we'd be too afraid to get a divorce, because that means we would have sinned against God. We would have broken his trust and betrayed him. We would have turned our backs on him by disobeying him. However, he never chooses to walk away from us, but he will allow you to walk away from him. Now, in spite of our sins, Jesus still went to the cross and stayed there until it was finished. You know, Romans 8:38 tells us that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, but he won't allow our lives to be any easier, even if he forgives us for breaking our covenant with him when it comes to our marriage. God warned us he will not be mocked, and he won't allow us to abuse his grace. Think about it. He forgave Adam and Eve, but did life get any easier for them? Don't we wish they would have made things right with God instead of making excuses? In the parable of the prodigal son, the father forgave the son, but he never stopped loving his son or prevented his son from leaving. But did his son's life get any easier after he left? But it got better when he reconciled. And what about King David? God forgave David, but did David's life get any easier? See, the truth is, when we choose to break our covenant with God, we don't just break his heart. We hurt our witness to other people. We misrepresent him to other people, and we become a stumbling block to others. When it comes to our marriage and our covenant with God concerning our marriage, God wants to know, will you choose me, your father, or your feelings? Will you choose the healing of my cross or your comfort and convenience? Will you choose my son or your selfishness? Will you choose the holy love I have for you or the happy life you want for yourself? Will you choose my will or your way? In the end, will you choose to do what pleases me or what grieves my spirit? Now, this is the spiritual side of divorce that each of us will be held accountable for. But there is a more practical side, or what I call the realities of divorce, that counselors and even Christian friends don't always talk about or acknowledge. Personally, to me, it's scary stuff, and I wish we talked more about it with anyone who's considering divorce, especially those with young children. These painful realities include the unforeseen consequences of abusing God's grace and breaking His covenant. King David lost a child even after he repented. A divorce threatens and impacts the credibility of your ministry or testimony, because people will believe what you do quicker than believe what you say. Reconciling your marriage will always bring God more glory and be more powerful than finding a new one. A divorce opens you up to someone else potentially raising, discipling, and even influencing your children. Teach them by their example what was your job to teach them. Your divorce opens your children up to someone who could potentially abuse them. We're talking about verbally, emotionally, physically, sexually, even spiritually. And we're talking about if your ex finds another man to replace you. A divorce can create a stumbling block to others. I'm talking about believers and non-believers, including your own children. It's sending a message that they can give up on their marriage, question their faith, lose hope in God, and even look for a better mate. A divorce can split and strip final decisions from you when it comes to your children, whether they're going to relocate to another place, when it comes to dating, driving, curfews, you name it. A divorce can create broken friendships and loyalties, forcing your friends to pick a side. A divorce can create fears and insecurities in your new mate as she secretly compares herself to your ex. A divorce can create resentment in your kids towards your new wife, and vice versa, her kids may resent you. A divorce can create a dynamic where your mate chooses putting her kids above you, in turn making you feel insecure and resentful. A divorce doesn't guarantee that you'll emotionally move on, and unresolved issues from your first marriage could potentially rear its ugly head in your new relationship. A divorce rarely takes place without negative financial fallout or ripples. Think about taxes, credit, creditors, or whatever. A divorce will create forced events with your ex. We're talking about birthdays, weddings, graduations, even funerals. A divorce will force you to miss some holidays with your children when you have to share the holidays. And believe it or not, a divorce will create increased competition for your grandchildren, your time with them, your influence on them, even events like we mentioned earlier. Now, I'm sure there are even more ripple effects of a divorce, but I didn't think of any of this until after my divorce. And the truth is, a divorce decision may be the end of a marriage, but it doesn't end the consequences of the decision. Remember, real men choose to divorce their consequences, not their wives. So that's the Real Men Check-In for this week. I hope that it blessed you. And if you found it helpful, please share this episode with other men who you may be mentoring or discipling. And make sure to check out our regular weekly interviews on Wednesdays. And to make sure you don't miss an episode, please visit our website at realmenconnect.com and join our growing community of real men. We also have a couple of free gifts waiting just for you. Guys, Real Men Connect is a listener-supported podcast. We're now the number one radio podcast on iTunes for Christian men. So if this podcast has blessed you in any way and you'd like to help us continue to bless and transform the lives of even more husbands, fathers, sons, and leaders, please prayerfully consider financially supporting this ministry. Just go over to realmenconnect.com and click on the donate button. And may God bless your faithful giving. Thank you so much for listening, because without you, there would be no Real Men Connect. So keep on downloading, subscribing, reviewing, and sharing us with the world. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin with realmenconnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man God called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in God's grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.